From KERA Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Lauren Silverman in this week for Jeff Whittington. Jeff is out in Washington, D.C. with the Think Team. They are preparing for some great live shows next week from the nation's capital. Hashtag Think in D.C. if you're curious. But today we'll be taking your questions and answers. As always, the telephone number is 800-933-5372. Or you can email your questions, if that's easier, to anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. I'm at L Silverwoman. So we can start off today with a question from Roy in Fort Worth. And this is one that I've been wondering, too. He says, when I was young and we saw a bolt of lightning, we would count the seconds before we heard the thunder as a way to determine how far away the lightning strike was. I wonder if this was and is accurate. If not, what is a more accurate way to determine the distance? Anyone has a thought on figuring out how close a lightning strike is? I do that, and then I shake when I hear the thunder at the same time as I hear the thunder and see the lightning at the same moment. I know it's probably pretty close, but I don't know if that's accurate. And we also have a question from an academic question that I mentioned at the top of the show. Brady from Rockwall wants to apply to dental school, and he wonders if anyone has advice on how to obtain letters of recommendation from dentists. So feel free to chime in on those. Let's start out and just go straight to the phones. Again, it's 800-933-5372, or you can email your questions and answers to anything at kera.org. Hey, Scott in Dallas, you got a question for us.
Hi, Lauren. Yes, I do. I was driving on I-30. Westbound on Wednesday around 5 or 5:30 p.m. and there was a small single engine airplane, like a little two-seater Cessna type airplane, literally buzzing the freeway, like coming down within, you know, maybe 20 feet of the ground and flying along with traffic. I happened to catch him in my rear view mirror coming upon me, and then he'd swoop back over the lake and then come right back. And my thought was it was a crazy person that was going to crash his plane into rush hour traffic or something. But I haven't seen anything about it in the news. I wonder if anyone else saw it, if maybe something was being filmed, or if that kind of thing's even legal. I can't imagine it is.
Huh. Did it freak you out?
Totally freaked me out. Literally just scared the hell out of me. I was trying to get away from him, but he was coming up in my rearview mirror so fast and so close to the ground that I thought for a minute I might be a goner.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let's see if we can find that out. Thanks so much, Scott. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So looking for an airplane that was flying there, trying to figure that out. If anyone, I think he said it was last Wednesday, knows what's going on, let us know. And let's go to Tony in Dallas with another question, I think, here. Hey. Hi, Tony.
Hello?
Hi there.
Oh, hi. I have a silly question, but it's just curious to me. When you go to buy tuna fish at the grocery store in the cans, you can either get it packed in water or packed in vegetable oil. And since tuna fish oil is a good kind of oil and a good kind of fat, why don't they just pack the tuna fish in its own oil instead of vegetable oil?
That's an interesting question. I never know. And then maybe you could just drink it. Right? Like you could, instead of buying the fish oil supplements, you could just drink
just
the tuna can
with your
oil?
Mayonnaise and tuna and onions and pickle relish and, you know.
Well, what if you found out that they took that oil and then they put it in pills and sold it to you?
Well, that's just crazy. it's like way too expensive. It's like, can't we just eliminate a couple of steps there?
Interesting thought. And which do you prefer, in oil or in water?
Well, it depends. So I use both. I kind of mix them both so they're not quite so heavy in oil. You know, just to save the calories. But I do need to take omega-3s, and tuna fish oil has omega-3s. So why are they taking it out of the tuna? tuna fish and putting it in capsules. All just right. Leave it in the packet with the tuna.
Okay, maybe someone with in the tuna packing industry, or a doctor
on the West Coast or East Coast that can tell us that.
Great question. All right, thanks, Tony.
Okay, I'll listen on the air.
Okay, we'll see if
and
we can find out.
Comes up with something.
We'll see if anyone has an answer for Tony about tuna fish and tuna fish oil. You can call us 800-933-5372. You can email us your questions or answers, whether you have an answer about that low-flying plane last Wednesday, or about the tuna fish tuna oil, or about doctor getting a recommendation from a dentist to go to dental school. You can write in anything at kera.org, or you can send me a tweet. I am looking now to see if we have anything there. I'm at L Silverwoman on Twitter, and you can see what other people are asking too. I saw one. Someone asks, Maddie Chats asked Jeff Whittington, who's out this week. She asked him, are there any public viewings for Game of Thrones on Sunday? Maybe any movie theaters with special viewings? Maddie is asking about that. If anyone knows, there are some places to go to watch on Sunday. Maybe there's some special deals or something going on. Give us a call, 800-933-5372, or ask us anything you've ever wanted to know. We'll go to the phones now to Henry in the colony. Hey, Henry.
Hey, I just had an answer about the tuna fish deal.
Oh, fun.
There's a couple of reasons. One, vegetable oil is very, very cheap. and two, tuna fish, some skipjack, it's not a very oily fish inherently. And so that's why they can sell it in little pills, because, you know, there's not a lot of it there.
Mm.
So, like, there's, you know what I mean? They have to add, you know, you'd have to take a ton of fish oil.
Oh.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's not actually that oily.
It's not a very oily fish, right, exactly.
And do you go fishing, or how do you know this?
Yeah. I've cleaned tuna before, and it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's not a whole lot of oil in there.
Huh. And the skipjacks, how big are those?
They can get fairly big, but most of the canned tuna that you get is skipjack, which is in the tuna family, and it's just a bit smaller than, you know, like the yellowtail or the bluefin.
I'm always shocked by the difference in prices you see on tuna in the cans at the supermarket. You know, you can get the wild-caught organic, which is like $5 for a little tin, or you can get the super cheap stuff that, you know, I eat and then sometimes share with my cats.
Right.
Which is much cheaper. Which do you prefer?
It's all the same to me, honestly. You know, as long as it says dolphin safe on there, I'm fine.
All right. Well, thanks for the answer. I'm glad we got an answer to Tony. Thanks, Henry. Appreciate it.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Alex on the phones. The number again, 800-933-5372. Hey there. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm an airline pilot, and a couple of years back, we were about to take off, and we noticed a little Cessna buzzing around really low, doing steep turns and stuff. And, you know, this was right after 9/11, and we called up the tower, and they said, oh, that's a pipeline surveyor. You know, we have all these buried pipelines that crisscross the country, and they will survey them routinely.
Really?
Yeah.
And it looks like they're doing tricks or getting real close to cars down there?
They're doing some low-level aerobatics or something like that.
Wow. And what kind of technology do you think they have to actually do that surveying?
They have your Mark One eyeballs. They, you know, they physically just look down and check for things.
Wow. That is a surprise. That sounds like, and so you'd say then it is legal. I guess they wouldn't be getting in trouble for that.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a special pass and permit for doing that stuff. There's certain places you can't overfly, but that's legal.
Huh. And have you flown a Cessna before?
Yes, I have.
And how easy is it to do those maneuvers?
You know, a 60-degree angle of bank requires only 2 G's to maintain the level flight, so it's not really that heavy-duty acrobatic or anything like that.
Okay, so it's not, you're not going to get sick from doing it.
No. Maybe the person riding with them, but usually they're just by themselves.
Wow. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I love the show. Thanks.
Yep. All right. That is interesting stuff. So probably legal, maybe a Cessna to that low-flying plane that doing the sort of stunts by the freeway that freaked that driver out that we spoke with earlier. I'm Lauren Silverman, and this week for Jeff Whittington, we are taking your questions and answers. The number is 800-933-5372, or you can email us questions or answers to anything at kera.org. But the phones are still lighting up, so let's stay with those for a little while. Betsy in Grapevine, hi there. How you doing? You there, Betsy? Doesn't sound like we have her, but I'll give her a few more minutes to see. Again, we're still waiting for an answer on this academic recommendations question. And we had someone write in with a tip to eliminating grass and weeds. This was a question, I think, from last week when Jeff Whittington was there. And MC writes in, spraying vinegar on grass will kill it very effectively. Adding a drop of dish soap can improve the effectiveness. He says for regular grass, the typical 5% vinegar at the grocery store should work. Some weeds need more encouragement. Encouragement? He says it's possible to get 20% to 30% vinegar from Amazon and some specialty stores. The specialty section of a grocery store might have something called German vinegar, which is usually 20%. Wow, I wonder why the Germans have much higher acidity in their vinegar. Maybe a question there if someone knows. The vinegar works by pulling the water out of the leaves. The hotter the afternoon gets, the better it works. So if it gets sprayed on the leaves, it will not affect the soil. That is MC writing in on his tip for eliminating grass and weeds. I don't want to say it, but we haven't gotten any questions about birds yet, which is usually the hot topic on this show. I've seen quite a few outside my window and a variety, everything from cardinals to blue jays to finches. It's that time. And I've seen a whole bunch of dead baby birds, too. Let's go to the phones now. You can call in with your questions, 800-933-5372, or email anything at kera.org. Amy, hi there.
Hi.
Hey, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Dallas.
All right. And you've got an answer question?
Yeah, just a suggestion about the woman calling about the tuna.
Mm-hmm.
There's a brand called Wild Planet that I get at Whole Foods that retains the original tuna oil in the can.
Really?
And they don't replace it with vegetable oil. You can use it in cooking or salad dressings or anything.
Now, what is does the tuna oil taste different than, I mean, what's that taste like?
It does get a little fishy. It's not exactly like using an olive oil.
Uh-huh. You don't want to drizzle it on just anything.
No, it probably needs to be a fish-specific dish.
Okay. All right. And do you have any idea how much that goes for?
I think it's in that $5 to $6
yeah.
like you were talking about.
Yeah, it's probably one of the higher – Wild Planet. I think that's a brand that does the more sustainable fishing.
It does, but it tastes amazing.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, thank you so much, Amy.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Anyone preparing a tuna sandwich might take that suggestion. Maybe Whole Foods trying, if they want to try it, tuna in its own oil. That's one way to go. Let's stay with the phones now. Let's go to Jeremy, who's in Plano. Hey, Jeremy.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, I'm sorry. I just realized we're almost out of time. Stay with us. We'll get back to you in a minute.
Sure.
All right. We'll get back to Jeremy with a question. You're listening to Think. I'm sorry. You're listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Think was yesterday. It's Friday, the 22nd of March. We're taking your questions and answers this hour. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372, or you can email us anything at kera.org. Also, send me a tweet. I'm at L Silverwoman. We'll be back in just a minute. From KERA, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Lauren Silverman in this week for Jeff Whittington. Jeff is out of town in Washington, D.C. with Chris Boyd, with the Think team. They're going to be hosting shows live from D.C. next week. Should be a really fun set of conversations, and they're doing some reporting while they're out there. But today, we will still be taking your questions and answers. The telephone number is 800-933-5372, or you can email your questions to anything@kera.org. Also, send me a tweet. I'm looking at those, at L Silverwoman. We'll get to what's on Twitter in just a second, but I want to get back to Jeremy, who's calling from Plano. Let's see if I can pick up that call again. Hey, Jeremy, you there? You there, Jeremy?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey there. You got a question?
I actually had an answer.
Oh, even better. What's up?
I had an answer for that Game of Thrones question.
Yes, the Game of Thrones, anywhere to watch it on Sunday, someone asked on Twitter.
Yes, due to copyright law, any place that could make money off of or prevent HBO from making money would not be allowed to show it. Now, if it was at a business like a bar or something and they happen to be showing it, that's a different case, but a theater or any other type of public place would not legally be allowed to do that.
Oh, so maybe people would not want to admit that they're doing it if they were.
Definitely not.
All right. So are you gonna try and watch it?
No, I never really took much interest in that show, and I'm way behind on it. So
fair enough. I have not watched it actually yet either. It's on my to watch list, so to speak.
Good deal.
All right. Thanks for the answer, Jeremy.
Sure.
Let's go to Twitter. There's a question from, there's two questions here, at least. Victor asks, how do you pronounce meme? Victor Godinez asks, how do you pronounce the word meme? I think it's just meme, but I like meme, too, if you were giving a little accent. Anyone have a definitive answer on how to pronounce that word? I also saw, I printed this out too, that the dictionary, you know, they add new words every so often. I saw that there are a few that just got added. FOMO, which I think is fear of missing out, revenge porn, and cisgender are among the new Merriam-Webster dictionary words. Maybe you've got a suggestion or a question about some of the words in the dictionary. You can call 800-933-5372 or email questions and answers to anything@kera.org. Excuse me. Hosting Think yesterday got me all mixed up. We have an answer to the lightning question. The question was whether counting the seconds between the thunder and lightning is legit. Mike McKimmons from Dallas says thunderclaps travel at the speed of sound of about 1,100 feet per second at sea level. I think we're pretty close to sea level. 1 mile is 5,280 feet. So the thunderclap takes almost 5 seconds to travel each mile. Okay, so for each 5 seconds, the lightning occurred 1 mile away. All right, that's one. That's an answer. So it does seem like that's an okay to measure it, okay way. And on Twitter, we also have another answer on the lightning question from Keith Shannon. He says, counting seconds after a lightning flash is about as accurate as you'll get. Sound travels 1 mile in about 4.5 seconds. Okay, so a little bit of a consensus there. Old school works. The phone number, if you have thoughts, 800-933-5372, or email anything@kera.org. Let's go to caller Tony, who's also talking tuna, right? Hey, Tony.
Yeah. I had the good fortune of once living in Italy, and most of the tuna they sell there is packed in tuna olive oil, which it's to me a night and day difference. And so I buy tuna from perspective of taste, and it is somewhat more tasty. And then something else I was taught a trick there: if you want to, for people who don't want to eat beef, you can put tuna fish in the olive oil in your tomato sauce, and it's a very good substitute for beef, and it's much more healthier, and people really enjoy my sauce every day. You know?
Wow. So you make a tomato sauce, tuna tomato sauce.
Yep. And I always look for the tuna packed in olive oil. It's so different tasting than vegetable oil or it's just packed in its own oil. I just find it so much more flavorful.
Wow. Wow. Okay. That's a cool suggestion. I might have to try that. Thanks, Tony. Thanks for the tip.
Okay. Good day.
All right. You can get it packed in vegetable oil, water, its own oil, or olive oil. It seems like there's quite a varieties I never would have imagined for how to buy a tuna fish that is in a can. Let's stick with the phones. John in Dallas. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks.
What's going
on? The question I had was, what is the past form of text? Like, for example, if I texted you yesterday or I text you yesterday, I don't know which one's correct.
Oh, okay. It's almost like tweeted you, which I hate saying. I don't like saying I tweeted you. But I think it's texted. But let's see. Anyone else have a thought? Thanks, John. Let's see if we can get an answer for you.
Thank you.
All right. If you have an answer about past form of text, I think it's texted, but I'm not sure. Or maybe then getting back to that meme question, pronunciation of meme, is past of meme memed? Maybe 800-933-5372, or you can email answers or questions if you don't want to call anything at kera.org. And let's take one more phone call. Michael, who's given us a ring in Southlake, right?
That is correct.
Cool. What's your question, Michael?
Yeah, my question is just what's a good pain-free way to do house swapping, whether it's leasing or buying? For example, you know, I recently just moved here to Texas, and the Texas real estate market is just so crazy that it's hard to buy a property. And I have a property from out of state, and I wanted to see if there's a way that I could make a deal with someone who would like to do a house swap, whether in the lease form or real estate transaction form. I just want to get the pain-free way to go about doing that. So if anybody has an answer, I'd be all ears to hear that.
All right, a house swapping question. Great. Since I don't own a house here, I'm not sure, but I bet we could get an answer for you. Michael in Southlake, if anyone has ideas for house swapping in the area, Safeways perhaps, maybe not on Reddit or Craigslist, but maybe that works. We'll see if we get an answer about house swapping. And if you have an answer, the number to call is 800-933-5372. Again, 800-933-5372, or just email the show, anything at kera.org. We do have an answer to Brady's question about applying to dental school. Leslie in Keller answered the question. She said, take some time to observe in a dental office or two. If you can make yourself useful and are curious and willing to learn, the dentist will surely be happy to write you a nice recommendation. She says, check out specialists' office too, orthodontists, periodontists, pediatric dentists, and oral surgeons as well. All right. That's great for Brady wondering about getting recommendations from dentists. Maybe that will help out a little bit. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to someone here. Lots of calls from Dallas. Rollin, how you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Had another answer on your airplane question.
Yeah.
Typically, I'm a pilot, and it sounded like it could be just training exercises. When you're first learning to fly, you go out and spend a lot of time doing turns and stalls and that sort of thing. And all of that's done usually between 1,000 and 3,000 feet, which is pretty low. Also, there is no restricted airspace when you get outside metropolitan areas, so pipelines are not, they may be marked on the map, but they're not restricted. And there's also pipeline surveys. The pipeline companies have pilots that regularly fly the pipelines to make sure that there's not any construction going on that might dig up the power pipelines and that sort of thing, and also looking for pipe leaks.
It sounds scary to think that they might be training that low.
Well, that's the standard training altitudes.
All right.
Particularly for small planes, and that's what you start out with, is little 2- and 4-seat Cessnas and Pipers.
How long ago were you training?
I was training about 25 years ago, but I own a plane, and even as an owner, you go out and practice your skills like that.
Oh, do you really? Where do you go to practice?
Well, I fly out of Mesquite Airport, which is over east of Dallas, up And like I say, there's a lot of open country out there, and you just stay away from populated areas.
And what's your favorite plane to fly?
I own a Cessna Cardinal.
Okay.
Which is a four-seat single-engine Cessna.
All right, cool. Well, maybe we'll see you up there in the sky. Thanks for calling, Roland.
All right, you're welcome.
The number to call with questions or answers is 800-933-5372, or you can email anything@kera.org. We have a question from Michael, who wrote in on email. He says, why doesn't health insurance cover dental insurance? Why do you have to have two separate policies? Pretty frustrating. Maybe someone from the health insurance industry can answer that, or anyone who's done some research there. And we have a newsy question from Steve in Farmers Branch. He says he watches NBC Nightly News, and the opening music is always very loud compared to the voiceover introduction introducing the show. So why does this happen? Does it have something to do with the cable provider? Maybe they're just trying to get your attention. I don't know. Anyone have an answer for that? The number is 800-933-5372, or you can email anything@kera.org. Let's take a few more questions. Let's go to Fort Worth. We haven't been out there. Sean, you've got a question for us?
Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Yes, I would like to know if anybody knows of a place in the Metroplex area that where people can gather who are interested in coding. I'm talking about computer science and coding, like using languages like Ruby and C++ and all those things. I just want to know if there's a place where people can gather and kind of learn from each other for free. I know of meetup.com. I was wondering if there's any other free options.
Okay, good question. Sean in Fort Worth wants to know about coding opportunities in the Metroplex. I know there's a lot of startup groups and co-working spaces, and there's one in Fort Worth, Startup Fort Worth, that's out there. I don't know if they offer coding, so maybe someone can say for sure whether there's any free classes where you can learn different coding languages. And whether it's not, there's another option besides Meetup. The number to call is 800-933-5372, or you can email questions and answers to anything at kera.org. I'm also on Twitter. I'm monitoring that at L Silverwoman. If you want to send a tweet or a tweeted, we still haven't gotten an answer to the past tense of text and pronunciation of meme, if you want to chime in on that. And also that question on why health insurance is separate from dental insurance. How'd that happen? Anyone know the history behind that? Curious to know. And we have another answer to the dental application question. That was how to get a recommendation to go to dental school. And this tip for Brady is from Dr. Din Nguyen. He says to call a dental office and ask if you can shadow the dentist for a week. Then ask the dentist to write you a letter. If no one takes you... Oh, how nice. This doctor, Dr. Din Nguyen, says you can call his office, Dental Access. This is for Brady. The number to call Dental Access is 817-422-9381. You can email anything@kera.org if you want to get that again, or maybe you missed it. And here's a question from Orlando from Dallas. He says, a mourning dove made a nest in a nearby tree. After about 3 weeks of waiting, the chick appeared on the floor, on the ground, headless and with signs of early decomposition. He says it wasn't a cat that killed the baby bird, and it was likely the chick was dead in the nest for a while. Does anyone know what might have happened to this baby chick, this turtle dove baby? Question. That's our first bird question, which I'm shocked about. Anyone have an answer to that turtle dove question? 800-933-5372, or email anything@kera.org. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Weatherford, Davis. Hey there, Davis.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Glad to hear.
So I'm a working guy that's also doing school online, and I'm kind of curious what other people's thoughts are out there, someone that's had experience. What exactly is the difference between a statistician and a economist? And depending on which route you go, what kind of jobs would you end up getting? You know, kind of what field would you end up working in, and what would you do in that field depending on, you know, which route you take in your college course?
And are you at that point, you're trying to decide between the two?
Yeah. I'm kind of thinking data analytics, which goes towards statistics, but, you know, I've also heard that, you know, economics can be pretty good too, but it kind of depends on, you know, on what my job would be, because, you know, if I end up, you know, trying to figure out why people make decisions, that's not really quite what I'm interested in. I enjoy solving problems, and I like finding patterns, but I'm not really into the psychology of it as much as the physical science part of it.
Interesting.
So I don't know. I'm guessing statistics would be a good route, but, like, where would I get a job at in terms of physical science if I go that route? And if not, you know, it would, you know, economics be a good choice as well?
All right.
So that's, I don't know.
Fair question. Let's see if we can get an answer for Davis in Weatherford. He wants to know about the difference between what kind of jobs a statistician and an economist end up with after school. Career path question. Give us a call. You can reach all of us people listening, 800-933-5372, or you can email your questions and answers to anything at kera.org. We got an email question from Anna Gorodkov. She wants to know why cities, when they're building new roads or developments, why don't they put the electricity cables underground to make it safer and look cleaner? That's a fair question. So let's see if we can get an answer for why they might keep putting those cables out up there. And some streets don't have them. Some streets do. If you have an answer for Anna there, go right ahead and give us a call. The number is 800-933-5372. Or you can email your questions to anything or answers, anything at kera.org. You can also send me a tweet. We'll be back after the break. I'm at L Silverwoman, and we will try and get some more answers to some of the questions we've got. We had that question about the NBC Nightly News, why the opening music is always very loud compared to what follows, and why doesn't health insurance cover dental insurance? We'll get back jumping into the phones, a whole bunch of you on the line there. Feel free to call with any type of question. Surprise me, 800-933-5372. Thanks again. From KERA, Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton, it's anything you ever wanted to know. I'm Lauren Silverman in for Jeff Whittington. He's in Washington, D.C. with the Think Team. They'll be broadcasting live from D.C. next week, the normal noon to 2 hours. Check it out if you want to tune in to the same radio station. We are taking your questions and answers this hour. Telephone number 800-933-5372, or you can email anything at kera.org. We have an answer to our text question. John in Fort Worth says he's always heard the past tense of text as texted, but Alex writes that there is no past tense of texted because it's not a real verb. The verb is to text message. But if to text were a regular verb, it would be texted. Oh, very, very. You can see who of the linguistic folks we get upset, riled up over this debate. And we have another tuna-related question. Eileen in Dallas asks in an email if anyone knows whether it's better to eat tuna out of a packet versus a can because of mercury levels from the can itself. I didn't know about that. Interesting question from Aileen in Dallas. So give us a call or write in if you have an answer there. But let's go and see what we can find out from Seth calling in Dallas. Hey, Seth.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just had an answer to the HBO Game of Thrones question. Someone asked where to watch it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a new service out called HBO Now. You can only stream it to like Chromecast and other streaming devices like Amazon Stick, or I can't exactly remember what it's called. But it costs about $15 a month, and you don't need a cable like subscription to sign up for it.
Oh, okay. But you couldn't sort of do it in a public space. It would be with some friends or something at your house.
Exactly, yeah.
I see. And do you have that? Do you have HBO Now?
Yeah, I just signed up for it the other day because I'm getting ready for the 24th.
Oh, all right. You're getting prepared. Very cool. Well, that is one way to do it. You could invite over some people and just get that subscription. Thanks. Thanks, Seth.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Let's go to Mark in Denton. Hey, Mark.
Hey. So this is a bit of an educated guess. I don't know the factually correct answer, but I do know that broadcast television, they broadcast regular programming and commercial programming at different audio gain levels, and they do it specifically. The advertisers pay to have their advertising played at a higher audio level so that it will get people's attention. And so if it's actually a different audio gain level that the theme song is being played at, it might be an attempt by the broadcaster to actually get people to come in from whatever they're doing and pay attention to this specific program to boost ratings.
Uh-huh. That's what I would have figured, right? I mean, why else would you be loud, right?
Well, yeah, they definitely do use different gain levels for regular broadcast and commercials.
And are you in the broadcast business?
No, I'm actually in the computer science business. If it's okay, I heard someone else call in with a question about statistics versus economics that
yes.
I can answer part of that question.
Yeah, please do.
So I've done a lot of research utilizing computers, high-performance computing and things like that. And so I don't know about economics, but statistics, there's a wide range of fields that you can get into from insurance to research. There's a lot of work for statisticians in medicine and any numeric related field where numbers are important for determining the relationship and value of different groups based on various kinds of numbers. So there's a lot of work available to somebody with a degree in statistics, especially if they have a background in database design or other aspects of computing.
That sounds like exactly. I was just going to say we got a tweet from someone, Abhinay, who writes, statistics with programming is could get you a job essentially at any financial firm.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah,
so.
And if you Google the combination of words statistics and the term big data,
mm-hmm.
you're going to find a lot. That's the biggest thing in the computing industry today. And companies are paying huge dollars for people who actually understand how to put the information together correctly.
Oh, interesting. All right. So statistics sounds like it's definitely in high demand now. Thanks for all your help.
Thank you.
Interesting. I should go back to school and get some programming and become a statistician. Sounds like a lot of work, though. We have an answer to the house swap question. M.A. writes in an email that the caller should be aware that if he ever leases his home, when he sells that home, he will have to have some major tax issues. Oh, I didn't know this. Warning for the house swappers out there. If you lease it, you have some tax issues. Also, he writes, he will not qualify for a homestead exemption for property tax purposes if it is leased out. The valuation will also change. All right, so be careful when thinking about whether to lease your house. It has some tax implications for you. Good to know. Thank you very much, MA. And we have a few other answers for the baby dove question. The mystery for the baby dove might be solved. Cordero here writes that woodpeckers probably got it. They are known to prey on the brains of other birds' young. Oh, that's disturbing. So it was missing its head. Woodpeckers eat the brains of other birds' young. Never would have guessed. Is that why they have that sharp beak in the first place? And there's one other answer to that. This is a different answer. Okay, we'll see. Anyone else know about the baby dove, dead baby dove question? And one other answer to the coding support question. Randy says, look into the local maker spaces. This is for someone looking for free places to code, learn coding, learn new languages of coding. The Dallas Makerspace has meeting and lessons, has a low membership fee. UNT and North Richland Hills also has a makerspace. Makerspace, those are fun places to go. You can do 3D printing, you can do coding, you can do all kinds of things. So check out Makerspace. That's a good idea. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go all the way to Arlington to Bernardo. Are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
So I've been wondering where I can buy St. Augustine grass seed, because I can always only find, like, the squares of sod, but I can never find grass seed, and I've looked on the internet and everything, but every other kind of grass I can find seed for, but not St. Augustine grass seed.
And I haven't grown much grass. I don't have a house. I have an apartment. What kind of grass is that?
I don't know. It's pretty standard in my neighborhood. It's like if I go to Home Depot, it's the sod that they have there, but I can never find seed.
The seed, huh? Maybe you should ask your neighbors too if they've got it. Maybe they have a stockpile in the garage or something.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, well, see what's up there, and then we'll see if someone else knows where to actually buy St. Augustine grass seed. Thanks, Bernardo.
Thank you very much.
And we have a question on Twitter. This is a fun question. I hope someone has a good answer for this. A guy from Everest writes, how do I address elderly a person that I don't know? Back in Nepal, we address old people as grandpa, grandma, even if they're not related to us. Oh, yeah, here you could get in some trouble if you went up to an older person and called him grandpa, I think. But that's a good question. In English, for the English speakers here, the Americans, I guess, how do you address elderly people in the U.S.? See if you have an answer for that. And you can call. The number to call is 800-933-5372, or email your answers or questions to anything at kera.org. Let's go over to Denton with I think you've got an answer there, Jared. What are you going to help us solve?
Yeah, so I actually thought of my second one too, but the baby birds often, if it's like a runt or a younger sibling, it very well could have been killed by its elder sibling. That's very common as a competing for the food brought by the parents. And sometimes even certain birds will not feed the runt. The parents, that is. Us younger siblings should be very happy to be human. The other answer I thought of is the packets versus cans of tuna. As long as it is a newer tuna can and it's aluminum that you're worried about leaching into the tuna, not mercury. The mercury is already in the fish from its own life cycle of eating smaller fish and stuff. And there's nothing you can do about the mercury levels other than eat things that help your body detox heavy metals.
Aluminum
can itself is the problem, and they've started coating them in a PA-free plastic, which the packets definitely are coated in, and the modern cans are certain cans might not be. It's something you need to look for, and I can't remember how it's labeled on the can. I don't really eat canned tuna anymore, just to be on the safe side.
But it sounds like...
Also with the St. Augustine grass, it's not a heavy seed-producing grass. It uses runners. It's a thatching grass, and that's why you're really best off just doing the sodding.
Oh, okay. So that's why they sell the sod.
It's not profitable for them to sell seeds because it doesn't work well, so you're better off with sod.
Great. Thank you for so many answers. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wear a know-it-all hat.
I like that. All right. We got three answers from the know-it-all. Why the seed, St. Augustine seed, you're better off going with sod. You're not worried about mercury in cans. It's aluminum. And if they're a newer can, don't worry about it too much. They have something that's supposed to keep that from leaching. So thanks for those answers. And also, we have an answer to the underground cables question. Liz says... underground cables are much harder to access and much more complicated to put in. So you would also have to put some kind of porthole and crawl space down there. She says there would be danger of water damage and other kinds of damage that makes it much more expensive. All right. And Doug and Alan adds to that, buried lines can't be accessed during hard freezes, which we do get a few of, I guess, here in Dallas, Fort Worth. So thank you for those. You can write in anything at kera.org or call 800-933-5372. And on Twitter, our own Rick Holter here at KERA has an answer. He maybe has grown some St. Augustine grass. He says Home Depot has Scott's Easy Patch for St. Augustine lawns, but Most St. Augustine grass is sold in sod. Okay, great. We've got some confirmation on that now from all the sod and grass know-it-alls. We have a question from Edgar Ledesma. Excuse me there. Is there an app that alerts you when the price of a plane ticket falls below a specified amount for any date? I don't know about an app, but I know Google Alerts has some good stuff there to check out, Edgar. You can set alerts and you can get them. You can get those, some of those answers. Now let's go back to the phones. Brian in Dallas. Hey, Brian.
Hi there. Hi. I was calling in for the gentleman who was deciding which career path he wanted to go with, economics or statistics.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I have a finance and economics degree. I work in as a manager of data analytics, and they're not mutually exclusive. Economics is more theory-based, but statistics is an underlying source to help prove or disprove economic theories. But if I were going to choose a career path, I would say statistics, because it goes into so many different fields and is extremely valuable right now.
Huh. All right. That sounds like some clear advice for staying with statistics for now. Maybe more options, at least. Thanks for your answer.
Thank you.
And we have a question from Joey in Denton. He wrote in, he says he received a summons for federal jury in Sherma, and one of the stipulations is that men wear a coat and tie. Joey asks, is this strongly enforced? He also wants to know if having to drive over an hour to serve and having a job that depends on him being present is enough for dismissal. Jury duty question, federal jury duty question from Joey in Denton. You can call and get an answer in before the show is over. That would be great. The number is 800-933-5372 or email an answer to anything at kera.org. And also one other question. I don't know if we'll have time to get to this, but Sarah asks whether there's any free or low-priced Spanish classes in the Dallas area. I know we've gotten these answers before, but she wants to know whether there's any other resources besides community college classes. So if you want to chime in, please feel free. Let's see if we can take one more call from Cheryl in Fort Worth. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello.
Hi there. You got an answer for us on that question about how to address elderly people, right?
Yes, I do. It should be sir or ma'am.
Sir or ma'am. So the standard, that's what you like to use, right?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the most respectful.
Any other varieties?
I think that's about it here in the U.S. That would be acceptable.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm trying to think of something else, but sir or ma'am sounds good.
Indeed.
All right. Thank you. Okay. That was for the Twitter question. Looks like sir or ma'am is the way to go. Now, we have one more answer here on the question about the intro music for the news being very loud. Joe in Fort Worth writes, sometimes it's louder on TVs with the advanced stereo effect or expander turned on. It's like a virtual surround sound effect that can be switched off. Our show today was produced by Stephanie Kuo. Tori Whitley took your calls. Shelley Canaby engineered the show. Once again, I'm Lauren Silverman. Thank you so much for listening to Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. Jeff Whittington will be back, I think, next Friday. And he also is going to be with the Think team in D.C. You can tune in 12 to 2 all of next week for live shows from the Capitol. We'll see you next Friday.